What is up, my friends from the internet? Once again, it's the Tech Yeah Games Podcast. I'm your host, Tony, here with my wonderful co-host, Leo.
Happy to be here, as I always am.
And we are here to talk about games. Video games, you may want...
not board games.
To be clear, yeah, not board games, not gambling games.
Well, though sometimes video games feel like they are gambling, but...
I've played some that were legit gambling, but that's neither here nor there, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just get this kicked off. Leo, what have you been playing this week?
Well, you know, I played quite a few different games. Again, I've been sort of on a
kick. You can't say you know, Leo. They don't know out there.
I know. Well, I was going to say, I think we all know what we've all been playing, but other than that... I've been sort of on a kick where I'm playing a lot of older games, and that kick continued this week. I played a really wonderful old RPG called Anachronix. Have you ever played this?
No, that sounds strange.
It is strange. So it's created by, I believe it was Tom Hall from id. Oh, shit.
You can start with it was created. Sorry, I dropped my mic. Okay. I hit the whole stand off the rack.
I just got real excited about Anachronix. All right. So this RPG was created by, I think his name's Tom Hall from id. He's kind of one of the guys who helped create Doom or worked on a lot of the levels. I actually got to talk to him when Rage 2 came out because I think he directed that as well or produced it.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I know. But he, you know, he's a big name, and after Doom and Quake 2 were just, you know, killing it financially, and all those guys, you know, John Romero and John Carmack and all that whole squad of people who got super rich in their like early 20s, he went on and he wanted to create this RPG, sort of like a JRPG, but with very Western elements, which I think at the time was sort of new, and he came up with this crazy sci-fi universe where it's like this, you play this like detective. And it's all in the Quake 2 engine. So everything looks fucking crazy. Like, really weird.
It sounds crazy.
It doesn't look bad. I mean, it looks very strange by today's standards. But I think it's a good example of really interesting art direction. And it's also very funny, which is interesting. It's like a crazy sci-fi universe where you're like on this alien planet in the city that's like constantly rearranging itself. Almost like Dark City. I don't know if you ever saw that. But you play as detective, and he's like real down on his luck, and it's sort of like cyberpunk, but there's aliens, but the writing's very funny. So it's almost like a comedy game, but it is pretty serious, and I only played a few hours because it's quite old. It's different than what I'm used to. There's a lot of systems that I couldn't quite figure out, and I had to look up just because it's a very different kind of game than I'm used to now. But it's really cool. If you're interested in like game design or that era, it's awesome. It was on sale on Good Old Games for, I think, like, $4.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, it sure is. But it's a really interesting game, especially for like RPGs. So, and seeing like, you know, one of the Doom guys create a whole new universe, very ambitious game in the Quake 2 engine, and it's like a comedy game, it's definitely a trip. I didn't beat it, nowhere near, but I was looking up reviews at the time and they were all really positive, and I was surprised I'd never heard of this game before.
Yeah, that is, I'm surprised I've never heard of it either.
Yeah,
like, I'm such an RPG head, especially old RPGs. It makes me think it must have been like PC focused, I would assume.
It was, for that time. It was only on PC for sure. It's very PC, like it's all about mouse movement and like yeah. But it's cool. Yeah. I highly recommend
it.
It's very interesting. If nothing else, check it out on YouTube and see some of the reviews. And I love good old games. They're so like, anytime I want to play an old game, I look it up, it's almost always on sale for like $3 and you just install and it works. It's so great. I love it.
Yeah, they do a great job, and especially keeping a market for, you know, things that otherwise might not sell, you know, or people might just download because it's the only place it's available.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the fact they're curated and you know, I don't know that they all work on modern OSs, but they seem to do a pretty good job of making everything more or less functional.
If they're going to sell it, it kind of works, right?
Like, yeah, more or less. I mean, you probably still have to download some kind of patch, or, you know, even if it's running through like DOSBox or an emulator, it's still usually it'll open. And the rest is up to you. But that's part of the fun of old games, is like the challenge of seeing what weird fan-made patches are up there. And like, will this support 2560 by 1440? Maybe with a patch.
Yeah, people do some amazing things making old games work.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love that stuff. And I've been really enjoying that. So on a similar kick, I booted up Unreal. gold.
I don't think I ever played original Unreal. I played a lot of Unreal Tournament.
Yeah, I think a lot of people played a lot of Unreal Tournament. So this game, for again, not to be like a history podcast here, but just because some context here is interesting. So Tim Sweeney, Tony's favorite man.
Oh, we know Tim Sweeney around here.
Yeah, friend of the show and current, you know, is he the CEO or president? I don't even know what his current position is at Epic.
The chairman of Epic.
Yeah, it's a great title. But anyway, yeah, he's one of these figures titles. Like, you know, Randy Pitchford or even Gabe Newell or like, you know, he's up there. He's one of the biggest success stories in gaming. Anyway, this game he created, I think if my very light research is to be believed, was like he created it in his garage. And it's this excellent first-person shooter. I think it came out in 98 on PC, and then Unreal Gold was kind of like basically a Game of the Year edition as we know them today, where it had some DLC. But what's really cool about this game is it looks great for the time. It plays really, really fast, just like Unreal Tournament does, but imagine that in single player.
Mm-hmm.
And it has really amazing environments for the time. But even the environments now kind of hold up. Like, you start on this prison ship, and then you break out, and you go outside. And at the time, of course, there were games where you could go outside, like Quake or even Doom. But it was, like, weird static skyboxes with simple geometry. And this felt like you really went from inside to outside in a way that I'd imagine was pretty mind-blowing at the time. And the environments are massive. So there must have been some sort of breakthrough in the engine where they could create these massive environments people hadn't seen before. But what's cool about it is it plays great, man. Like, again, I had a patch, so there's a bunch of fan-made patches out there. But it was surprisingly really fluid and fun. And even though the game's old as hell and there's a lot of old design choices, like you got to flip this switch to open this door, it felt much more sort of intentional than a lot of those old games. Like, I was going through real fast without really having to think about it. Whereas in a lot of those old games, you're quickly like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Because it's just very different design choices. So, I don't know. It was a really... I was shocked by how well it's aged and how much fun I had immediately playing it.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked, too. I feel like whenever you go back to old games, especially shooters, there's such a... You know, it's so cumbersome to get back into them. So, that does sound... It sounds cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. I played, I think, on Steam. I'm sure you could get it for $10 or even cheaper. But it's great. And what really blew my mind was, like, you know, we give all these guys a lot of shit for where they are now. You know, they run these giant corporations and they're huge like figureheads, but they did create these incredible games and they are incredible like game designers. And I think sometimes we kind of forget that, you know, like this to me was a good example of like, goddamn, he made this more or less himself from what I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much his vision and he just did it. And like, then he got super rich, but it's like, yeah, man, he probably should have gotten super rich. I don't know if he needs to be as rich as he is now necessarily. But, and then seeing how Epic sort of, you know, it started with this, Unreal, right? Obviously, the Unreal Engine is what it's named after. And then the Epic Games, I guess, is built up after that. I'm sure the history is fascinating. But seeing sort of the impetus of that entire huge thing that now is like the biggest thing in the world, or one of them, was really interesting. And to see it come from a place that's awesome was also kind of neat. And put everything else like Fortnite and the Epic Game Store in an interesting new context for me.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the shame of it all, though, right? Like, when you see people like Tim Sweeney or, you know, or Gabe, and it's like, oh, like, you used to make these, like, great things, and now you, like, market to the lowest common denominator to, you know what I mean, to move numbers, right? Like, you're caring about, your focus right now is moving units and, you know, supporting a giant company, right? Like, that. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's somehow evil to employ a bunch of people and do what's best for that company and to keep all these people, you know, fed and earning money. Like, I think that that's valid.
We're all capitalists here.
We're all capitalists here, right? But, you know, there's definitely something I think that's lost, you know, when you kind of, you know, when you shift from someone that is kind of innovating and trying to create things to someone who is trying to create wealth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that happens a lot in Japanese companies, too, like, from what I understand, right? Like, people keep getting promoted until they're not making games anymore, and they just get, you know, promoted up into management, and then you never hear about them or their creative ideas again. Which, again, isn't inherently a bad thing, but it is it's very different, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe the reason for that is that creativity is kind of finite, right? Like, you know, maybe the young are a bit, like, are blessed with the opportunity to be more creative, right? Where the old have to, like, you know, focus on the business of it, or, you know, we get inhibited with our own, like, our own apathy and our own, like, like, reality, you know?
Yeah, you don't have the luxury to just create a thing that everyone's like, you can't do that. And they're like, yes, I fucking can, and I will.
Yeah, or the confidence to just, you know, do what you think is cool, right? Yeah. Like, with no, you know, with no pressure to make it be successful, or, you know, if people are going to have interest in it or not. You know, you just kind of make. And so, you know, I do think it's interesting, right? And it is like, you know, these people were talented, right? They did make exciting and cool things.
Immensely talented.
And, yeah, and, you know, like, and it took them very far, but it's like, at what cost? Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, like, I don't even know if Unreal Gold is available in the Epic Store. I have no idea. I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, here, I'll look. I have it open right now. Let's see if...
oh, he has it Unreal. Open, everybody. I see what's going on here. We got an Epic fanboy over here.
I wanted to play that World War Z game, which someone just sent me a link saying was free on the Epic Games Store this week. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, fine. I'll install Epic Games Store. It seems like a fun co-op game, and I kind of wanted to play it when it came out.
Yeah.
And the moment I install it, just like, you know, all the free game pop-ups start popping up from your tray, and I'm just like, God, I fucking hate this store. Like, I don't mind, like, Steam's, like, here's a window, and if you want to click through the sales, like, you can click through them or just close it, right? But something about tray pop-ups, and this is, like, for everything, like, I hate Windows tray pop-ups. I hate NVIDIA tray pop-ups. I hate, like, Origin tray pop-ups.
Yeah, those,
like,
are the worst.
Don't pop things up in my tray. Like, please. Like,
yeah, like, you're already eating my RAM and my system resources. Like, the least you could do is not, like, rub it in my face. To be fair, I'm sure you could change the settings so these things don't happen, I bet. But
oh, yeah, I'm sure you can, too. But, you know, like, I've opened myself up to you. Please don't take advantage of me, right? Yeah, I feel like a girl that,
you're
like...
a delicate flower.
Yeah, that's finally, like, decided you're gonna do the deed, right? And you open yourself up, and, like, the guy, like, spits on you, and you're like, what the fuck, man? Like, I start hitting you with tray pop-ups. You're like, I've opened myself up to you. Please, just respect me. You know, like, it's very sad. Treat women right, all right?
And yeah.
Companies treat people that install your platform right, all right? That's
the moral here.
Yeah, I was so upset.
So, but, is it on there?
No, it's not. Unreal Tournament's the only thing.
See, that's funny to me. Like, that seems so odd. Why wouldn't they put it on there? Like, I'm surprised that would be like a... Maybe he just doesn't give a shit, but to me, it seems like... It'd be like if Steam didn't have Half-Life, you know?
I'm surprised that's the only Unreal product, like, at all on there, right? I'm actually going to open Steam right now, because I want to see how many Unreal products.
Unreal Gold's definitely on there. That's how I was playing it. That's very ironic, actually. I didn't even think about that.
And I'd imagine the tournament games are probably on here, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, probably like 2004 and all of them.
Yeah, let me see what's on the store. It's going to take a minute. Unreal. This is giving me like a bunch of Unreal Engine games, but Unreal Tournament Black, Unreal Tournament 2004, Unreal Tournament Game of the Year Edition. A bunch of other weird Unreal Gold, Unreal 2,
that's the one.
Unreal World.
Oh, that's a different thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of games with Unreal in the name.
Yeah, of course.
They are not. I'm looking for if there's any hentai games with Unreal in the name, but
of course you are.
I just think it'd be funny if it was just like Unreal Wife Simulator or something.
Well,
I don't feel that. That's going to be the game I'm going to design.
We're going to launch our own publishing platform, just like Epic. I played some Unreal multiplayer too, because I was like, I wonder if that's still up. Sure enough, of course it was. Right, there's like a million matches. I just hopped into one and got my ass kicked because people have been playing this game for 20 years.
And but, you know, those nerds are going to be playing, dude.
But it was cool. Like, it always makes me happy to hop into those old games, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so fun. It's like, it's just a step back in time in a really kind of a neat way. But anyway. I didn't mean to give everyone a history lesson there. Hopefully you found it interesting. But check out those old games. And in the meantime, Tony, what have you been playing?
Oh, what have I been playing? Well, I've been mainly playing a game that we're going to talk about here in a few.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into that.
So I don't want to get too deep in it. But, you know, a lot of the games I've been playing are things I've talked about in previous weeks. So I don't want to get too into the nitty gritty with it. I played a lot more Grand Blue Fantasy Versus.
Oh, cool.
I really like that game.
Are you getting good?
No, I'm really bad. Like,
And you still like it. That's a good sign,
I think. Yeah, like I started watching tournaments to see, like, oh, who are people playing? Like, what do they do? And they're all so good, and I'm so bad. Like,
yeah, I think comparing yourself to the best players in the world is rarely a good idea.
I don't know if they're the best players in the world. They're mostly the best players in New Jersey, from what I've seen.
Well, they're still probably pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think I could take them if I train a little longer. Let's see what happens.
All right, well, we'll check back in next week on your training. Right.
I'll give you guys an update next week on my Granblue Fantasy Versus. But yeah, I mean, the game looks so nice. Like, it just looks so good. Like, unlocking, like, the skins are dope. Like, there's just so much to it that I think is really fun to interact with. I really like it. That's awesome. What else? I've been playing more Apex this week, more than I've been playing Warzone, which surprises me, but you kind of go where your friends go, right? But I don't know what to even say about Apex. Like, Apex is so Apex, you know? Like, yeah. Nothing new is in it. It's still the season. It's the same shit. Kings Canyon now, like, they went back to the old map for ranked, which is so funny that that's how they update the games. They're like, here's the old stuff. It's a new mode, you know?
It's retro mode from 4 months ago.
Yeah. It's funny. Even today, we jumped and I was like, man, this feels like 2019. You know, like, it's such a dumb, like not really retro thing. It's
really funny.
It's so lazy, but whatever. It's a better map, so I guess I'm not sad about it. What else have I been playing? And I played some League of Legends. They just did this fun mode called All for One mode. And everyone votes on a champion at the beginning. And then whoever wins the vote, your whole team has to play that champion. So it's 5 versus 5 of the same character.
Oh, that is fun.
So it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's broken most of the time, but that's kind of the fun of it.
That's the point. Yeah, I like broken. Like, I do in Overwatch, I do like when Total Mayhem, where everyone could just pick whoever they want and everyone's overpowered. It's totally broken, and that's part of the fun.
Yeah, it's a fun time. I enjoy that part of it. But, you know, it's a weird time out there, so I haven't really been that in the gaming mood. You know, like...
That's funny. I have been. I've been, like, really kind of hunkered down and, like, really enjoying kind of escaping into crazy, crazy alternate dimensions.
Yeah, I mean, I think these things all hit people different. I guess that's not true. I haven't been playing a lot of a game. I think it's more, like, multiplayer and just kind of, like... My desire to interact has been, like, kind of low, which is, you know, bad. But, you know, that's kind of those moods you get into, especially when things aren't.
It is.
When things aren't really going your way or going anybody's way, which it currently feels like, you know, it's like, I just don't want to. It's so hard to expose yourself. And, I think people can kind of relate to that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But even
when things are going well, like, I do find myself in just different moods sometimes. Like, I'll go whole months where I only play multiplayer games, and then whole months where I only play, you know, I think it's just where you are in your life and kind of what you want from your free time, your limited free time.
Yeah. So if you guys are out there and you're having a hard time with the current situation, just, try and enjoy yourself. Realize you're not alone. Everyone kind of has those.
Yeah.
Everyone has tough times when times are tough, you know? So don't let it define you.
This is very universal. Everyone's having a terrible time.
Yeah,
for what it's worth.
Different degrees, right? Yeah, some people, it's not as bad, but or it's way worse. So just just try and maintain perspective, and we'll all figure it out.
We'll pull through.
We'll pull through together. Okay. Well, with that, let's take a quick break, because we're gonna get into the meat and potatoes of this and talk about some of the big releases this week, and namely one that we've been playing so much of that involves the cute little animals.
Woohoo!
How was your break? Did you talk to all your neighbors?
Yeah, so I gathered up some sticks. I made myself a nice axe. Then I upgraded the axe. But I upgraded it too much, and I accidentally started chopping down my trees without even meaning to.
Yeah, typical. My problem was I ate some fruits, and then I broke
the
rocks.
Oh, you got OP!
Yeah, and I broke all the rocks I was trying to get my ore out of.
Yeah.
Now they're fucking toasted. I don't even know if they're ever coming back.
Well, so if you guys think we're talking about a video game, we're not. This is what we did during our break.
Yeah, I always eat fruit and hit rocks.
Smash rocks.
Yeah.
And I'm always making axes, you know. That's why they call me Leo Axe Maker.
So three big games came out this week that I want to talk about. And namely one we've actually played, so Yeah. Maybe there's only one that we can talk about with any level of expertise, but I felt like mentioning the other two was...
Yeah, they are important, for sure.
Poignant for the time. The first one being Half-Life Alyx, the VR Half-Life game from Valve. Mm-hmm. Valve so rarely releases games, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, the first one in... First Half-Life in many, many, many years.
Like, do you have any particular feelings about Half-Life Alyx?
I mean, by all accounts, it kicks ass and is a really amazing VR experience. I've not played it. I don't have any way to play it. But I was sort of ambivalent about it. I knew it'd be like super fancy VR because it's Valve and they can take the time to do whatever they want. So I knew it'd be sophisticated and I knew it'd probably push the limit in a lot of ways. That's kind of why wouldn't they? You know, it's not like they're in a rush. So I knew it'd be good. I was not expecting it to get such sort of universal adoration and see like how much it kind of pushed the boundaries of things. I'm very excited to try it, but not enough to spend, you know, $1,000 right now. Or I guess you don't have to spend $1,000. You can run out most VR headsets, right? But I don't.
I hear it's
one.
Pretty lame on the like Windows Mixed Reality or the lesser VR headsets.
Yeah, it does feel like one of those games where if you're gonna do it, you should do it right. You know, like almost like The Witcher 3. Like I'm sure the Switch port's great, but that's not the only way I want to play it. You know, so in my mind, until I get the Oculus 2 or whatever VR headset I buy next gen, then I will be very excited to try it. I was definitely taken aback by the almost universal acclaim.
Yeah, I don't know if I just hate VR because I have no... Like, I watched a bunch of playthroughs and stuff for people playing it, like streaming it. I have no interest in it, really. Like, it seems neat, I guess. I just, like, the actual playability of VR to me is so, like... It's such a strange experience, right? And this is... I've had quite a few VR headsets. I had PSVR. I have a Vive at home. And I will tell you this. The Vive is never set up. You know what I mean? Even now that Half-Life Alyx is out,
yeah,
I'm not going to set up the Vive. Like, because it's just not worth it to me for however many hours that game is. I won't even play the whole thing. I know if I had, I wouldn't even play the whole thing, right? Because for me, you spend an hour or two in VR, and you're just like, I'm just done. Like, if I'm not showing it off to somebody... Or just like doing some, you know, specific task in it. Like, I have such little desire to be in VR. The technology definitely is not there yet as far as like comfort and ease of use. And I don't know. I knew this would be the best Half-Life or the best VR game, and I still was just like not interested in, you know, doing it. Like, maybe I'm just too cynical.
I mean, at some point, right? Like, at some point, it's going to get better and better and better. So, at what point will it be good enough for you to dare to try it again?
What
more do they have to do to be like, it's the best VR experience ever by a huge margin? That's still not enough to interest you?
I don't know.
Or at
what
point will it be like good enough?
I think that's a good question, right? I think the isolation of it is very like a big turnoff for me, and not like the social isolation, right? Like, I play games in my room by myself all the time. It's not it's not that. It's the it's closing yourself off to the world in that headset, I think, is...
I agree. It's a strange experience.
Yeah, and I don't like the feeling of it. Like, you know, too many times when I was playing VR games, you know, you'd spend an hour and not realize that, like, you didn't turn the lights on and it's dark now. Or, like, you know, and you take it off and you're just sitting in the dark by yourself.
It feels bad. Yeah, I do know what you mean. There is something creepy about that. It's almost like when you go to a movie during the day and then you get out and it's nighttime and your brain's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, it's a bad feeling. And something about it, it almost makes you terrified to be blind, right? Because it's just like, it just feels so terrible to, like...
yeah, no, you're right. It's an interesting point.
Right, like, I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it really, like, I would just have these moments where I would take off the headset and just be like, this is, like...
You have, like,
I don't
an
know
existential
why
crisis of some kind.
Yeah, like, this is really gross. Like, I just feel, this feels really, like, inappropriate and, like, obscene in a way, you know?
That's interesting.
And it's very disassociative. Like someone could be watching you, you know? And you almost kind of have that feeling that someone was, right? Even though they weren't, right? Like, you were sitting by yourself. But it's like this, like, you were so absent for yourself from that time. Like, you left yourself unprotected, you know? Like,
And, but disassociative is a good word. It's almost like you're astrally projected and your body was just, like, chilling somewhere and your brain was somewhere else.
Yeah, which, like you're being a bad steward to your existence.
Yeah,
you
totally. Know? Which is part of the fun of it, right? Like, it really is like you're teleporting your brain somewhere else. But I hear you. It is definitely a strange and unnatural, and I could certainly see it feeling very unpleasant. I feel like I got to experience VR in a really good way because I was, you know, I was reviewing VR games for work, at work, most of the time. So when you're in a VR headset at work, assuming people aren't, like, throwing shit at you or trying to scare you, then you don't.
Sometimes.
Yeah, they do. Then you don't have as much of that. But I do know what you mean. Like, if you're at your house, you're like, I'm going to play VR on Saturday. And then you play for 2 hours and you take off your headset and you're like, the sun went down and you had, like, 3 missed calls from your, you know, cousin or whatever. And you're just like, fuck, man, what was I just doing?
Yeah, like, where have I been, you know? But, you know, I think it's just too much of a hassle right now. I think if they could get the headsets down to a very small size where they were lightweight and comfortable to wear, if they could get the tracking down to like a very smooth real-time tracking, like the inside-out tracking is a lot better than it was, but, you know, overall it's still pretty cumbersome and you're still tethered to a computer, right? Like, you know, you can use
that part's hard.
Yeah. You can use that Oculus system that, what is it? The Quest S or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to use it on the PC, you still got to plug into the PC, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. There's no getting around the fact that it's a cumbersome way to play video games.
And the control schemes just aren't that great. You know, like, I feel like it's missing. It's less playable, you know? I think that's the problem, right? Like, when I play games, and I think the reason I kind of focus so much on, like, multiplayer games, right, is because, like, I enjoy the fact that, like, you can achieve so much more in game, right? Like, you can do things that, like, you couldn't physically do in real life, right? You're not limited by any, like, physical, like, barriers as far as, like, shooting guns or jumping or running and all this stuff, right? And when I play VR games, I guess because I'm older now, I'm almost 40, right? Like, I am acutely aware of, like, physical limitations, like, very quickly, right?
Yeah.
Even, like, crouching in games, right? Like, I think if a VR game is going to actually be immersive, right? Like, you're going to need to be crawling on the ground and jumping in the air, you know? And doing that for any prolonged period of time, like, it just isn't how I want to spend my time playing video games. You know, not regularly, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that totally makes sense. So it's not so much a knock on the game as it is just sort of like the medium right now is not in a place where you can really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure the game's great. Like, you know, I expect the game's actually very good. I just, like I said, I just don't think VR is in a place yet where I find it necessarily enjoyable in its current form or its ability to deliver experiences.
You hear that, Gabe? Tony says you're done.
You're done, Gabe. Cut that
done,
shit out.
Gabe. You're over.
Give
you're
us
canceled.
Half-Life 3, all right? I don't need this fake-ass VR bullshit. I don't know, but we'll see. People are saying the PlayStation VR for the PS5 is supposed to be wireless and...
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, all this magic, so we'll
see.
What
would be great is if, like, the headset was super badass and light and amazing and cutting-edge, but you still had to use the same stupid Move controllers.
God, dude.
And, like, put that shitty camera. That would be funny.
I really like the PSVR headset. I thought it was
a really
nice headset.
It's definitely
the
most comfortable one for sure. Yeah. I don't like the little short little headphones, but I guess you can use any headphones. No, it's comfortable as hell. I played it a lot here at my house when I was playing a lot of Astrobot, and, like, yeah, it was really surprisingly comfortable. I agree.
Like, compared to using the Vive headset, I really preferred to put on the PSVR headset.
Yeah.
Totally. But, yeah, the Move controllers are terrible. I mean, I think the Vive tracking is not that great either. Like,
it is better, though. And I'm sure it's getting better, you know?
I'm interested to actually see. I'd be interested just to look at how the new one works because...
Yeah, me too.
I still have felt like none of them really control great, you know, like tracking-wise.
Yeah.
They get better or worse, but they all have their moments that are like really show the flaws in that system.
You know? It's always got to be like the ideal use case, which it so rarely is, right?
Yeah, or you're sticking your hand through stuff. Yeah. And also, I think, like, I was watching someone play, and I think the thing with VR is it has to be super immersive, and games still aren't at the level, like, technologically, or the technology's not at a point where, like, the game can interact with you in a way that makes sense, you know? Yeah. Like it's great. You can, like, draw stuff on the window, like in the beginning of Alex, everyone does, but nothing reacts to what you draw, right? Like, you know, if you're going to draw dicks on the window and someone's outside and sees it, you know, they should be like, why are you fucking drawing dicks on the window, right? But, you know, nothing can really interact with what you're doing. You're still like a ghost in this world, right? That can only participate in very scripted things, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's scenes where, like, the cops are coming up and, like, busting you, you know, and I was watching them play, and they were just, like, grabbing the cop's gun, right? And the cop's like, go back to your room, and it's like, that cop should just shoot you. You know what I mean? Like that. There's no, like, we're not at that level yet where we can really...
The systems aren't quite, they're not ready to support the, sort of, the framework that they've made.
Yeah, the freedom that you have in that type of framework, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, look, I could talk a lot more about this, but in the interest of time, we should probably talk about the other sequel to an important old first-person shooter.
Another game I don't give a shit about.
Jeez.
Doom Eternal is out. No, it looks fine. I don't know. It's another one of those games that I think looks good, but it's just not something... Doom 2016 I thought was good, but I wasn't super hype on it.
Yeah.
And so this kind of seems like a similar formula that's a little bit expanded, which I'm sure is great, and I'm sure a lot of people will really enjoy it, but for me, I just wasn't that that interested.
Yeah, we kind of talked a little bit about it before we started recording, and I found myself kind of defending it, but I am excited to play it. I am.
Yeah, because you're a fanboy, bro.
I'm looking forward to playing it, but I will admit I did not buy it, and I will not buy it. Probably at $60, not because it's bad, just because there's so many other games that are coming out and are out that it just kind of, it was not a priority. So as excited as I am to play it, and I will play it, and I'll let you guys know what I think about it. I can't say I'm so excited because I didn't even buy it.
Yeah, you're all in on defending the game until they actually have to pay $60.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well said. But
so maybe it's not that great.
I really liked the first game. I thought it was very creative, and especially given its really troubled production. The fact they pull it off as well as they did, I think, is really cool. And seeing them have that base formula in place and then expand on it, I'm sure it's really cool. And I'm looking forward to trying it. But yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it since I didn't play it.
Yeah, I've got nothing to complain about with 2016 or this Doom, right? Like, they seem like well-made, good-looking, fast-paced, interesting games, right? Just maybe not, like... They just feel... I don't know. I don't want to call them shallow because I don't think they are. I think the combat actually seems to have quite a bit of depth. But, like, I don't know. Like, just so less than a lot of other products as far as, like, what you're actually getting for your dollar. And which makes me think, like, this is a game to buy on sale. You know? Like, I don't know if that's fair or not. But, you know, that's just kind of how it feels when you're looking at that kind of game. Especially compared to some of the other offerings you can get for $60 right now.
Yeah, you could always just play Doom VR, right? Your favorite game.
Yeah, that's a mixture of all my favorite things. because there is one game that is definitely worth $60 that came out this week, right?
Yeah, it's hard for any other game to, like, talk about the right place at the right time.
Yeah, there's a no-brainer. I mean, if you have a Switch, you have to buy Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Yeah.
It's the best, the second best game I played on Switch, probably. I love it. I think it's so great. I've been having so much fun playing it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, me too. I got it day of, which made me happy because everyone was so excited about it. So a lot of people got it early, so I was, you know, hearing about it. And I just to give you a little bit of background on my sort of interaction with Animal Crossing, just because it's been around for 20 years. It started on the N64 in Japan, and then the first version was a port of that on the GameCube, which I did buy. Partly I bought it because it came with a memory card and it was like barely more than a memory card was. So I was like, well, why not buy it? And I played it a little bit, but I definitely did not get sucked in. And then I sort of slept on it until 3DS when I think it just got such good reviews. I gave it a shot, and it was at a time where I was traveling to downtown LA a lot from my house. So I was taking the train every day. So I had a lot of time to play, and I sunk, I don't know how many hours, but probably like 200 hours, something like that. Like, not as many as some people, but quite a lot of time into that game. And I got really into it. And then one day I kind of just stopped playing. So I wasn't that excited until kind of all this shit went down. And it just seemed like such a a wonderful counterpoint to all of that. And I bought it and immediately realized that, yep, it is everything I thought it would be. Like, it's very fun and sweet and easy to play and easy to get lost in. And I'm really enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah, it's funny. I've had a couple friends because, you know, I keep like posting pictures in our Discord and on my Twitter and stuff. And I had a couple of friends be like, oh, well, you know, like, what's so good about it? Like, convince me it's good so they can buy it, right? And I was basically just like, you know what the, like, just looking at it,
yeah,
you know what this game is. Like, if that sounds fun to you, then you have to buy it. But if it doesn't, like, please don't. Like, don't put it on me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you bought this game and you have no desire to
buy Doom.
Organize, or if you want to organize your garden and design your own clothes and and, you know, try and catch rare fish to build out your museum, by all means, this is a great game to do that.
If you don't want to do those things, then don't buy this game.
If those sound lame as fuck, if seeing that you can get meteor showers is like on the horizon. I saw that someone found meteor showers, and I'm very excited to find meteor showers, right? Yep. Like, so if that's not something that's like motivates you, then this isn't the game for you. But man, I have loved this game, and I haven't really played a lot of Animal Crossings prior to this. I think I installed it on the Wii, like, you know, because everyone had hacked Wiis back in the day.
Yeah,
and you know, didn't get into it at all. Like, I probably booted it a couple times. Like, I had some familiarity, and through like Smash Brothers, but this is like really the first time I've like got into Animal Crossing. And the funniest thing, right? So I don't know, Thursday night, right? I get home from work. You know, we're talking on here, like, we record our episode.
Yeah.
And I download Animal Crossing. I download it. I play it Friday. I play it Saturday at my girlfriend's house. Friday night at my girlfriend's house. And Saturday morning, I log in because I finally have the airport.
Yeah.
And my fucking Switch got banned Saturday morning.
No! That sucks.
Yeah. So,
because they're fucking watching. They know.
Well, and I haven't had it modded for like 3 weeks. So it must have been like flagged from something a while ago, right? And it was just a ban wave or whatever, or a genius marketing plan by Nintendo, because
let's make this brilliant game to find out who's.
Because within 30 minutes, I had ordered one on Best Buy and gone for curbside pickup to get a Switch Lite, right?
Oh, which, wow, that's
funny. I got to be honest, I love the Switch Lite.
Really?
Like,
that's cool.
I like it so much more because I never play my Switch docked.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I like it so much more than my regular Switch for just like holding and laying in bed and holding over my head.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a great.
I have heard that's the case. Like, it is a much better portable console.
It reminds me of a Vita so much, like a souped up Vita. And it feels amazing. Like, I love it. But yeah, so I started over on Saturday.
That's really funny. That's kind of adorable.
Yeah, they really fucked me. But, well, and it's funny because, like, I woke up Saturday morning and my girlfriend was messaging me, like, oh, did you get the Dodo Airlines yet? Like, I want to
visit your
island.
What fruit you have.
I want to see what your fruit. We both have peaches. It was a terrible planning.
Well, I got almost everything, so you let me know if you need anything.
I have all the trees now, but no, I had cherries, and, she had
like
peaches. And so we were, like, ready to go. And then I had to restart again, and I got peaches, and I'm like, I'm not restarting anymore.
Yeah, because even on. I've seen this three times.
Yeah, even to get cherries, I re-rolled like three times. You know,
really?
And I was just so I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. But man, I love Animal Crossing. It's so good.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really extremely charming, and I think one thing that doesn't get a lot of credit is the writing, which sounds weird, like it's not story heavy, but not just the writing, but the translation, because it is funny. It's genuinely funny, but it's also very extremely engineered to hit a very specific vibe. And I don't mean that in a cynical way. I think they had a lot of fun with it, but I feel like whoever translated it from Japanese, or, you know, whatever team of people, really deserve a lot of credit. Cause I have no idea. I'm sure the tone's very similar in Japanese, but man, it's so like laser focused to be really approachable and charming and also genuinely funny. So yeah, I don't know. I've just been really enjoying like the language of it and how people talk, and enjoying it because it's funny, but also really been very impressed with it as well. There's a lot of text
puns.
Too.
I hate the fish puns, but I kind of love the fish
puns.
Yeah,
they're great because those are funny because you could tell they were like, fuck off. Yeah. Like, they don't like those either, you know?
Yeah, I caught a sea bass, but I think it's at least a B plus or whatever, yeah. Right? Like, yeah, they're so bad, but I love them. Like, they make me so happy. Like, yeah. They always make me happy.
The carp one? I caught a carp. Yeah. If I catch another one, they can carpool.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good.
And the the main gameplay loop is, like, making bells so you can buy more shit. Initially, it's to build your house out and, you know, buy a bunch of stuff. But once that's done...
Go deeper into debt.
Yeah, the gameplay loop is just filling up the museum with all the interesting animals. And, like, that's when the end game opens up, where you're really just designing a really cool space. And it can... As silly as it sounds, it really can kind of reflect your personality in a pretty meaningful way. I went to a friend's island today, and their island was like, yeah, the flowers were all beautifully placed in very different places, and there was like, they had these cool gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And my island looks like shit right now because I'm basically just trying to unlock everything. But yeah, it's just such a unique game. What I was struck with too, Digital Foundry had a really cool video kind of breaking down the tech of it. Did you watch that?
No, I didn't get a chance to check it out.
I'd recommend it. It's only 10 minutes, but it's cool because they talk about how, like, the lighting is actually quite sophisticated, and they, you know, they break down the tech in an interesting way, but they also showed a lot of the original Animal Crossing, the N64 version. And obviously it looks very different, but it doesn't look that different. And the gameplay loop's essentially identical. And it reminded me of one of those things, like, yeah, if it's not broken, like, they got it right the first time. There just wasn't a lot to fix.
Yeah, I am surprised how good, like, some of the physics are in that game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they use Havoc. They use Havoc physics.
Mm-hmm. And the lighting is really good. And, like,
yeah.
A lot of it just, it looks great. You know, like, I think the game, like, looks beautiful.
It's very, it's like a subtle beauty. It's very odd because it's very simple, right? The designs are simple, but at the same time, there is, like, a lot of depth and texture. And especially after watching that video, I did have even more of an appreciation for, like, wow, there's a lot of very subtle details they didn't have to put in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really very fond of Animal Crossing.
So who's your favorite villager so far?
What's his name? The frog with the surgical mask on?
Talk about topical times.
I can't remember what his name is. I'm going to look it up. Hold on. But the thing I've been doing mostly now is tarantula farming.
Yeah, I haven't found a single tarantula yet.
So they only come out at night. But I will tell you, there's a trick to getting tarantulas.
What is it?
Do you want to know the tarantula trick?
Yeah.
Oh, so I have Bill, and let me find this frog real fast. Sorry, let me one thing at a time. I'm not
smart a great enough. Multitasker.
I had Drift before too, but I don't have him anymore.
Oh, you kicked him out?
No, that's when I got banned when I had Drift.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, Drift had to leave after the ban.
He got arrested.
Yeah, he got arrested. There's a lot of fucking illegal shit going on my island. And, is that Ribot? Is that really his name?
It's a great name.
It's not his name. Yeah, I guess that is a good name. So, if you go on a tour at night with one of the Nook Miles tickets... Yeah. So, you go to that island, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as it's a normal island, like... You know, decent size. You basically pick every flower, chop down every tree, break every rock, and then throw all the stuff you picked up like in a corner somewhere. So basically, you set it up so the only place anything can spawn is on the ground.
Oh, I see.
And so the only thing that spawn on the ground at night are tarantulas, the green bugs, I can't remember what they're called, the green tiger beetle or whatever, and wharf roaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you basically just run around the island, and whenever you see a bug or a wharf roach, you just run it over so they jump out, and eventually tarantulas will just start spawning, right? And then you just catch them all, and you get a full backpack of tarantulas, and you sell it for like 200,000 bells.
That sounds like a lot of effort.
It is, but once you get it all clear, it's tarantula time, you know? So
fair counterpoint.
It doesn't take, it takes 10 minutes or something to set up. It's not crazy.
So there you go. I think that's actually encapsulates it nicely in terms of, like, if that sounded stupid and shitty and boring and dumb, I totally get it. Like, I think it's totally fair. I could totally see someone be like, that sounds terrible. And
it is dumb.
It is dumb. It's definitely a mindless game in a lot of ways, although it does allow you to be remarkably creative if you want. Like, you can be very creative. But yeah, that kind of encapsulates what the game's about. And I think at this point, everyone knows, right? It's so huge. Like, it just broke a bunch of sales records in Japan, which I was not surprised by. Like, again, the timing is so perfect for a game about relaxing and being on a desert island with creatures. Could not have come out at a better time, right? So,
yeah. Best first week for a Switch game in Japanese history.
Yeah, so Smash. And that's not even U.S. sales, right? I don't know if those have even come in yet or been reported, but I'm sure those are hella high, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there are two. But yeah, those haven't come out yet. It's all Japan right now.
Yeah, so I don't know. Everyone I know bought it. A lot of people I know bought Switches just for it. So I have a feeling it did some numbers. And that's just on launch. Like, this is a good example of a game that I think has a pretty long tail. So I don't know. It's a huge success in every way. Critically, I think financially, and for me personally, it's like definitely lived up to my expectations. Except for the crafting is irritating.
Yeah, the crafting is irritating, but, you know, I think that's... If you smash the A button, you'll craft faster.
Yeah, so I did learn that. It's just, I find it more irritating than it is fun. And I'm sure that levels off as you build more and more stuff. I just don't quite understand why they did it. It takes a lot more... The game would definitely be better if you could very quickly craft tools that would not break.
Yeah,
because it's not like Breath of the Wild where it forces you to use different tools. That's why Breath of the Wild works, is it forces you to get different weapons all the time and keeps you on your feet. This is just literally just an annoyance. It just breaks up the flow of what you're doing, so you have to go do something you've done 10 million times and go back to what you're doing. Like, come on.
Yeah, they're definitely leveraging that gameplay science of, like, you know, this is going to make you play more... You know, for better or worse, right?
It just seems, like, so transparent in counterpoint to all the very sort of sophisticated illusions and loops they use in every other part. It feels very, like, brazen and kind of uncouth, and as silly as that sounds, in such a pure game.
Yeah, I will say, thankfully, like, you know, I don't know, I'm on, like, day 5 now or something.
Yeah, same here.
And, you know, I've crafted most of what I've needed to craft. So I don't feel like I'm crafting that much usually.
Yeah, true.
So it's not that big a deal. Although,
it's not. It doesn't kill the game by any means.
Yeah, I feel like early on there's a big, like, load of crafting you have to do because you're, like, building every tool and
you're just buying a lot. You're just picking up a lot of sticks.
Yeah, picking up a lot of sticks, chopping a lot of trees. But, you know, I feel like you get to a point pretty quickly where you kind of know what you need, and, you know, you got two of everything, and it's not that big a deal. But it does. It is a very... Brazen's a good word for it. It is a very brazen loop, like, engagement loop, right? Like,
yeah, it's very obvious.
Yeah, clearly designed to prey on your, your desire, like, completionist desires, you know?
Yeah. Well, but, listen, the people want to know, what is your island called?
My island is called Space Camp.
That's a great name.
What is your island called?
Well, it's called Ridgewen, which is like it's a reference to the first novel I wrote. There was a town called Ridgewen, and I kind of always liked that. So that's my, you know, town name. I use it in every RPG and, you know, whatever. So
I was going to have a nerdy ass name.
Hey,
but then I thought these kind of moments would happen, and I was like,
hey, what's nerdy about writing a fantasy novel and self-publishing it?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, like, originally, before I got banned, I called my island, like, Zeon, which is, like, the Nazis from Gundam, basically. They're, like, the totalitarian regime that's, like, kind of starts the war. But it's kind of a joke, like, you know, like, Zeon did nothing wrong, you know?
Gotcha.
But then I was like, that's kind of nerdy, too. So I went with Space Camp.
Which is not nerdy in the slightest.
It's fun to say. I'll say that. Like, it's fun to say. People show up to Space Camp, I think they're pretty excited.
Oh, totally. No, that's a great name.
Yeah. So, I love Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Animal Crossing.
Yeah, what's not to love? It's very good. And, you know, I'll be curious to see how Animal Crossing mania continues to spread. But, yeah, it's rare a game has such hype and then just totally lives up to it. I think partially because it's very clear on what it is. It's not trying anything particularly new. It's just like Animal Crossing in HD, basically. So, like, what more do you need?
Yeah, I design my house, like, every day, which is, like, my favorite thing to do. Like, I get one thing, and I'm like, now this is my style, you know?
Yeah.
like I got a present like randomly, and it was a Go table. I don't know if you know what Go is.
Oh yeah, of course.
That board game, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very, but it's a very like Japanese board game.
It is, yeah.
And so I literally like turned my entire house into like a Japanese like dojo with two mats and a Go table in the middle and like koi fish all around and paper doors and everything. I was just like,
that rocks.
You know, it's so fun to just like, build off of it's great. I love it. I love Animal Crossing. It's the best.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about it as we go forward, but yeah, it's a great game and we'd love to hear what you guys think, what your towns are called.
We would love to hear the name of your towns in Animal Crossing. I want that information more than anything in the world right now. So please send it to me at techyapodcast.com, techyapodcast@gmail.com, techyapodcast on Twitter and on Facebook, everywhere. Send me that name everywhere, please.
And any screenshots of like your villagers? We eat it up.
Yeah, anything. Screenshots, I'll put them on the website. If you send me screenshots of your house, of your villagers, of all the tarantulas you caught, of your ore fish, I want to see them all, please.
We're desperate. We're desperate for the content. Animal Crossing content, more.
Animal Crossing. Oh, speaking, before we close out on Animal Crossing, have you done these Animal Crossing QR codes yet?
Yeah, I actually learned how to do it today, but it seems like quite a lot of work, so I probably won't actually do it, but it's cool to know you can.
It's not that much work.
It is, because you have to, don't you have to apply it to, you have to sign up for the Nintendo app and, connect it to your Switch? I guess that's it. That's the only hard part.
Yeah, that's all the work, is you basically just log in on the Nintendo app, you scan a QR code on your phone, and then you just open it in the designer, basically, in Animal Crossing, and you have it. And there are some great clothes. I have a Totoro hoodie I wear all the time. My bedroom has like albums on the walls.
Nice,
right? Like it's great. It's great.
Yeah, so, that part of it is exciting. I haven't even gotten into that yet, but I can't wait to like design my own clothes.
Yeah, the custom design stuff's super fun. All right, Leo, is there anything else you wanted to jump into before we let these people get out here and play some Animal Crossing?
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't really stick around because those tarantulas are calling my name, my friend.
It's after 7. They are spawning. It's time to go catch tarantulas. Everybody, we love you. We appreciate you listening.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Please tell a friend, especially right now. It's a tough time for everybody. I think the best thing you can do to help any creators you know is just try and share their content with people because it means a ton.
It does.
We love you guys. Thank you. Have fun. Go play some games and be safe.
Sounds good. Go play some Animal Crossing.